إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه وبعد. The third part of what we have been talking about is يعلمهم الكتاب. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said teach them the book. This refers to teaching the Quran, the job that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been given. The first part was to recite the ayat, yatlu alayhim ayatihi. Second part was to prepare the sahaba, wa yuzakkihim. Third part was yu'allimuhum al-kitab, to teach them the book. First thing to understand in this is the importance of the Nabi himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who believe that the Nabi was merely a carrier of the book or like a postman, na'udhubillah, all of these words are used. If these words are used by people for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that context, then this is kufr. This takes you out of Islam. So please let us be very careful as far as the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned. So the first thing that we understand from this instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say yu'allimuhumul kitab, teach them the book, shows that this book, the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something that we need to learn, that we can't do it all on our own, that we need a teacher, that somebody has to instruct. This whole issue of learning from teachers seems to have almost disappeared. And when I say learning from teachers, I don't mean listening to some YouTube lecture. I am talking about making rujoo to some proper teacher of the Quran who teaches you the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second thing is, what is the meaning of teaching in the context where the people to whom this kitab was sent already understood it because it was in their own language? So it was not a foreign thing. It was not a question like for us, for example, those of us who do not, for whom Arabic is not their mother tongue, we have to go learn the language. And so if I say that I need to learn the Quran from somebody, it makes sense because it is not my language, so I have to go learn the language and learn the Quran. But for somebody to whom this book came in their own language, what was there to learn? Obviously, it shows that there is something to learn. And the best example that I can give you is that all of us are familiar with English. We are as good as native English speakers, if not better. But if someone gives me a book on nanotechnology written in English, I can't understand it. If someone gives me any kind of a specialist book, even if it is written in English, I can't understand it because I don't have that knowledge of that branch of science. So just knowing the language alone is not sufficient. It's a great help. Knowing the language is a big help. And knowing a language takes you much further than not knowing the language. But just knowing the language alone is not sufficient to understand a technical subject. You have to know that science itself. And therefore, the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sent. And with the kitab, the teacher was also sent, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, when we understand this yu'allimuhumul kitab, we understand the importance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a teacher of the kitab, and we therefore understand the unbroken series, the unbroken chain of teachers of this Quran from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself to whoever teaches the Quran today in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am saying in the way because not everyone who claims to teach the Quran is actually a teacher of the Quran. People who simply teach, who call themselves teachers of Quran and who simply teach you to read by looking at the letters, nazira, which is you are recognizing the characters, the letters, and you are learning to pronounce them, these cannot be called teachers of the Quran in the way of Rasulullah. True, they are teaching something, it is better than nothing. But at the same time, if someone is just teaching you to pronounce the letters, he is only teaching you sounds. He is not teaching you the Quran. Similarly, people who do not want to teach the meaning of the Quran, who do not know how to teach the meaning of the Quran, all of these people, including those who today have made teaching the Quran into a business, and they make money out of it, and they teach or not teach based on whether people can pay, this is all not from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not take money to teach Quran. None of the Sahaba took money to teach Quran. None of the Tabi'in, Tabi' Tabi'in, none of the Aima of Islam took money to teach the Quran. So if somebody is taking money today, he is not following the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't say whether it is haram or halal. That's for them to decide. As far as I am personally concerned, I consider it haram for myself. But as far as others are concerned, I am not making fatwa. I am just saying that this is not the Sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi musallam. It's not the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is not the Sunnah of any of the Anbiya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this very clear in His Quran, where He said more than about 8 or 9 times, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the Anbiya do not ask you for ajr. The Anbiya do not ask you for any salary or any reward. And the reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the third part. The fourth part is teaching the communicating of knowledge. This is something to be understood again, because today we have restricted education. We have taken the meaning of education to simply accumulating data and regurgitating that data in what we call exams. And if somebody accumulates enough data, and if the person is able to regurgitate that, then we say this person has passed this exam. Now this is not the meaning of education at all. For example, in Urdu we have this word saqafat. Today saqafat means reading and writing. Whereas if you take the root word musaqaf in Arabic, musaqaf means somebody of noble character, somebody who has knowledge, somebody who has the best akhlaq, somebody who has wisdom, somebody who has compassion. It's a all-encompassing word which is not restricted to reading and writing. Reading and writing is a very small part of it. Yes, it is a part of it. I'm not saying it is not a part of it, but it is a very small part of it. Today we have restricted education to reading and writing. Reading, writing, and then where exams are involved, of regurgitating what we memorized, right? There is no scope in our education system, or so-called education system. It's not education really. There's no scope in our so-called education system for critical analysis, for constructive thinking, for strategic thinking, for even questioning. For example, if you ask any little child, say A for, he will say apple. Why apple? If you ask him, why did you say apple? I mean, there are any number of words that he could have said. And he knows those words also. He knows all of those words. A for arm, which is stuck to your body. Why must you find an apple which you can't even see anywhere? But this is the nature. And what we have done today, in the name of Islamizing education, is instead of A for apple, we teach him A for Allah. Exactly the same. It's equal nonsense. Because end of the day, instead of teaching children to answer, to generate their own questions and to find their own answers, we give them answers. So with the result today that we have adults who sit and wait for answers. They don't have any creativity to generate their own answers. They sit and wait for answers. What can we do? There is a sense of learned helplessness if you take it at a political level, if you take it at a economic level, if you take it at any level. There's a sense of general sense of learned helplessness in entire countries where people are without answers. And frankly, if they are without answers, because they don't want to think, as simple as that. Like if you think, there are always answers. I'm not saying that you will find the best answer the first time you think. No, you won't find. But you will find some answer. And if you give it enough practice, then you will come up with better and better answers as you go along. But that doesn't happen because our education system does not permit that. Our education system creates dumb people. It's a dumbing down system. Think about that. What are you taught? You are taught in our schools, at least in India, especially in colleges, The professor comes and dictates notes, right? Now, what is he dictating notes from? From a textbook. What is a textbook? A textbook is a dumbed down version of an original book. So, what the student is getting is a twice dumbed down version of what is in the original book. How stupid can it get? And we call this education. And somebody who passes that, we say, oh, we got people who got 90% marks. They got 90% marks in what? In a dumbed down system, which they also got the marks because they did not dare to process that information in their mind. They did not dare to come up with any new answer. They just regurgitated like vomit, whatever they had put into their bellies without digesting. And you call them 90% marks, 100% marks. These are the champions. Absolute, complete nonsense. This is what has happened to our education system. And by and large, this is what has happened to education system globally. Now, the history of why it happened and so on and so forth, I'm not going into now. But the point is that this is not what is meant by Yu'allimuhumul Kitab. Rasulullah ﷺ did not teach the Quran like this. Nabi ﷺ taught the Quran, he taught people to ask questions. He asked questions, he taught them to think and to reflect. And he taught them to apply what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for them. So this is the whole meaning of teaching. Second thing, now I've forgotten what was the third, fourth or fifth. Anyway, the next part of it is that education also consists of seeing the effect of that education on your heart, as far as the Quran is concerned. And that is the reason why Yuzakkihim comes before Yu'allimuhumul Kitab. The Talim comes after the Tazkiyah. If you put the Talim first and Tazkiyah later, then Tazkiyah will never happen. And you have people who are educated Jahilun. People who are educated but they are ignorant and they have no manners, they have no akhlaq. Their education produces arrogance, which is what happened with Iblis. There is no alim who is bigger than Shaitan. But you know the result of Shaitan or what happened to him is ending. And that is because there is no Tazkiyah, there is no purification before the Talim. The Talim just came like that. You put the best things into garbage, it turns into garbage. Whereas in Islam, the methodology that was taught to Rasulullah was first Tazkiyah, then Talim. Now when you do Tazkiyah and Talim, then the Talim has an effect on the person. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Muslims, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Allah said when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned before them, something happens to their hearts. Their hearts shiver with the grace and magnificence and awe of and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ta'aleem, the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach was this. He would teach something and then he would say, look for the effect of that in your heart. This is what we should do. But we never do that. How many of us, when we have been sitting with our Ustad and learning to read the Quran, how many of us have had this opportunity where the Ustad stopped you after reading an ayat and said, what, you just read something, what was the effect of that on your heart? Has this ever happened in you take it, ask a million people and you will not get one single answer. Unless you are studying from an Ustad who knows how to teach in the way of Muhammad Rasulullah. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells this very clearly in the Quran, the zikr of Allah must produce this effect in your heart. So you are sitting and reciting Ayat al-Kursi, for example, right? And then the heart is still filled with fear and with anxiety and with stress. Then what is the point of reciting Ayat al-Kursi? I have mentioned this example before. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha was very tired. She used to get very exhausted with the housework and so on. So some slaves, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had some slaves after one of the ghazwat. So Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said, why don't you ask your father to give you a slave so that you know the person can help you in your work? So she said to him, you go and ask. He said, no, I will not ask. You ask him directly. So she went to see him and he was sitting in his majlis. He saw her, but she felt shy to go in front of other people and ask, so she left. So when the majlis finished, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to their house and he said, you had come to see me, what can I do for you? She said, Ya Rasulullah, I am very tired and exhausted with my work and so on. At the end of the day, I get very tired. So I wanted to ask you for a slave. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I cannot give you a slave. Because I need them for other things, but I can give you something which is much better than that. And should I teach you something which will take away your tiredness and exhaustion? She said, Ya Rasulullah, please teach me. And he taught her to recite
Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. That is why this tasbih is called tasbih of Fatimi. What is this tasbih? He did not say read this and you will go to Jannah. He said this is a tool to take away your tiredness. Right? So this is something to take away your tiredness. How many times do we recite this tasbih? It's part of the Masnoon Askar of Fard Salah. So we recite it after every Fard Salah. We are supposed to recite it in the night. Those of us who remember and who recite it in the night, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to recite it and blow on his hands and pass his hands over his whole body. This is supposed to take away our tiredness and our exhaustion. Does it do it? So the tasbih is wrong? Or that or what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught is wrong? Or what we are doing with it is wrong? Which one? This is the problem with education. We are simply taught the words and we are not taught to think about it. We are not taught the effect of this. As simple, I am giving a very simple example of something which we do every day. We were taught something. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave this to his daughter radiallahu anha as a tool, as something to take away her tiredness and exhaustion. Alhamdulillah, bismillah ta'ala, we got the same tool. How come it doesn't work for us? That is the thing we have to check. This is what education must do, and this is what the teacher must tell you, and this is what you must tell you. You must ask the teacher and say, I am learning something, this is supposed to produce an effect, how come it doesn't produce effect? So something is wrong with me, because Alhamdulillah, this is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a tasbih that is taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obviously that is, there is no fault there. So fault is in the place we are applying it. So that is where tazkiyah is so important, and this is the methodology of ta'lim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to teach and learn in the way of the sunnah and to benefit from it and to make the effort to do that for ourselves. It's never too late to start. Don't worry, you know, if you are not 8 years old, even if you are 80 years old, as long as you are living and breathing, there is time to learn. And therefore, we must continue to learn and to change ourselves in such a way that we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state where He is pleased with us. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ اللَّهُ